Starting out number two, we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I'm actually pretty proud of the fact that our bookers have turned as many draft prospects as they have leading up to the draft. Not that this is a new thing, we do it every single year, but this year has been a really, really good year in that regard. Just had an exceptional talent in Kyle Pitts. Again, I asked him the question, do you think that you are the best player, period, in the draft? He said, I think I am. And you know what? I think he might be too. Certainly will be the first non-quarterback taken off the board. And I thought he answered the question really honestly. When he saw the Niners move up initially to get to number three, he did ask his tight end coach, did they do that for me? Are they looking at me? Am I a possibility with that pick? He said, I did think that initially, but now that I've seen more and more of the quarterback hype, I don't think that anymore. And I understand that too. What I'm saying is you can't believe anything in all this time of year. It just seems really convenient that Mac Jones continues to come up over and over and over again. And that Kyle Shanahan even kind of put some hints out there as to why that made sense. You know, maybe he's being straight. Maybe he's being straight. I have a hard time thinking that Kyle Shanahan is not going to put some smoke out there or try to run a misdirection given how he came up, given who his dad is. But then again, why do they need smoke? They don't. Not where they're picking. Because you already know the first two quarterbacks off the board, who they're going to be. We know that pretty much already. We know who's going to be on the board when they selected number three. So why even bother with smoke? Who knows? It's the NFL. It's draft season. Anything can happen. The other big topic from hour number one is Jeff and Southfield coming in and doing Jeff and Southfield things, namely weird things, bizarre things, inexplicable things. We expect that. We understand that. And normally when he does those things, we get a reaction. As part of those things, though, he normally does not take a run at a beloved deceased jungle icon. That's not something he's done before. Take a run at Arthur Fonzarelli, sure. Take a run at a lot of other clones, absolutely. Take a run at Trapper and say that he needs to stay in his coffin and shut the hell up? He actually did do that.
Hey, Trapper, rest in peace. And what I mean by that is stay in your coffin and shut up.
As I mentioned, my man is resting in peace. To the best of my knowledge, I'm going to assume it. Trapper, nobody fought the devil the way Trapper did. I mean, he fought that as hard as he could, as long as he could, with everything he could. Therefore, I'm going to assume that he is resting in peace. I know this. He's not trying to fight his way out of the coffin. He doesn't need to be told to shut the hell up, Jeff. I think he's at peace and tranquility wherever he is. And maybe he's in silence and maybe not. I just know he's not doing what you accused him of doing. Having said that, a lot of people are really pissed off. And I'm going to say that I'm not one of them. And I love Trapper. But I understand, Jeff. I'm not taking that bait. I know what he's doing. He's doing it for shock value. He's trying to get a rise out of you all. And you know what? It worked. He's getting exactly what he wanted. You're giving him exactly what he wanted. Eric in Orlando 9. Romy, Jeff in Southfield is a disrespectful jackass. Quote, holy crap, Jim. I have now heard the lowest of low on this show. Autopsy smack on a legend? Are you freaking kidding me? Jim in Temecula. Hey, Jim. Jeff seriously reminds me of those folks who show up to the hospital every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for electroconvulsive shock therapy. Guy is nuts. Here's the thing. He might be. Or it might be a big act. Or if you want to go with the biggest conspiracy theory in the jungle, it's not even Jeff in Southfield. It's Mike in Indy. There are members of my own staff that are convinced it's Mike in Indy. That they sound similar. They're calling from a similar area. That it really is Mike in Indy. Personally, I don't believe it. Jeff in Southfield is responding to the criticism himself already. At Schoolia tweets, I asked myself if Trapper was cool enough to know it's just comedy and said, hell yeah, he is. Of course he is. He's Trapper. War Trapper. That's Jeff saying, I didn't mean anything by that. That's just a joke. I asked myself, is Trapper cool enough to know it's just comedy? And said, hell yes, he is. Of course he is. He's Trapper, War Trapper. You know what? I tend to accept that too. What? How about this? What would Trapper think of that? I think that's what you have to ask yourself. A lot of you are really pissed that he disrespected the deceased. But step back for a minute and say, what would Trapper think of that? Would Trapper think that's funny? Would Trapper think that's cool? Would Trapper think that somebody's saying, man, this guy's got the kind of grit to fight his way out of a coffin during smack off season because he wants in? He's built like that. I tend to believe Jeff, because if Jeff didn't care and Jeff didn't give a damn and Jeff was going in, why would he tweet back, hey, man, it's just a joke. I didn't mean anything like that. He would own it. He'd be really weird and own it. Be like, yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it and I meant it. The joke's not as good if you have to explain the joke. Or maybe the joke missed. I tend to accept that. Like, I wasn't offended by it because I think he did it for shock value. And now that he's quickly doubled back and said, here's why I did this. I did it because I asked myself first. Before I went with that, I thought to myself, what would Trapper think? Would Trapper be cool with this? Would Trapper know it's just comedy, man? Would Trapper know it's just me being in the jungle doing what you have to do to be in the jungle? Yes, I think Trapper would get that. I think that's his mindset. All right, so take this. How about this? Rich Flores is in. Rich Flores was really tight with Trapper. Really, really tight with Trapper. Quote, that, okay, this is interesting. That was a good joke, Jeff. Trapper laughed. Rich Flores is cool with it. And nobody knows Trapper better than Rich. They're tight. Haunted Horse, quote, I agree. I think Trapper would have laughed. I do too, personally. I think Trapper would have respected it. I think he would have respected it. I think he would have chuckled. I think he would have been, yeah, bro. And then he would have had something on the back end or something at some point. He would have filed it away, but he would have tipped his hat. He would have tipped his hat. That's not a reason to go. I understand why you had Trapper's back, those of you who are pissed, but I don't think the Trapper would have been pissed. All right, so if you want to weigh in on that, go right ahead. Jeff at Southfield still has that golden ticket. He still has an invite. He still got racked. I'm not mad. In addition to that, we are open in this second hour. I've got Steve Jones Jr. coming up. He makes a jungle debut top of hour number three. Terrace Marshall Jr. is coming up in the third hour too. NFL draft coming up on Thursday, finally. All right, so a few weeks back in early March, Baker Mayfield tweeted the following, quote, almost 100%. Em and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and we looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? End of tweet. And I know that a bunch of you dopes and haters were saying, it's just some dude from Texas seeing something in the sky and immediately thinking it's aliens. They're coming to get us. The History Channel is full of shows like this. Normally, when something like that happens, the guy who posted the tweet comes right back a few days later, walks back the original claim. The UFO turns out to be some sort of small plane, a weather balloon, or a drone. They admit the mistake. They apologize for the confusion. Normally, that's what happens. Not this time. Not only is Baker not walking it back, he's backing it up. He spoke with the media yesterday. He made a couple of things pretty clear.
We were driving home from dinner. I don't remember what day it was, but just driving home and had the music going. And It was one of those things. She was looking down at her phone right in the passenger seat, and nighttime. So when you're looking at your phone screen, it's everything's dark around. You can only see that light, but it was bright enough to where it caught her attention too. We kind of just looked at each other and like, did you just see that? Yeah. So other people in that area confirmed too.
All right. So that's significant for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's not saying that he was mistaken or that he subsequently learned that it was not what he thought it was. What he's doing is resetting the scene. He's telling you exactly what happened and how he reacted in that moment. That's important. He also is saying that there was confirmation from other people in the area as well, that he and Em were not the only ones who saw it. And apparently not just confirmation from people in the area, but from folks in the Navy.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. So it's real. I saw it. I'm glad the Navy finally confirmed some more pictures. Now everybody doesn't think I'm as crazy. I believe.
Not just UFOs, but Sasquatch too. But what's important here is that's the quarterback of America's team saying the UFOs are real. When it comes to significant voices on this very important issue, America's quarterback is probably second only to America's president. When it comes to weight and heft and cred. And if the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is saying the UFOs are real, then UFOs are real. Fact. Case closed. Now, if you're new to the conversation about UFOs, here is all you need to know. The quarterback of the Cleveland Browns said that he has seen them. And they're real. In other words, game, set, match. Thanks for coming. Move on to the next topic. This one has been resolved. I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to come in here with some junk like that report that UFO sightings were up 51% last year during the pandemic. I'm quite aware of that study. And if you want to explain the increased sightings as a result of people being at home or being bored or being at home and being drunk off their asses, keep right on moving. Because you know what else has increased over the last few years? Government confirmation of what's happening, like the photographs that surfaced earlier this month of an unidentified flying object that was spotted and photographed by Navy pilots. Not some kook in the desert somewhere. Navy pilots with all the hardware necessary, all the technology necessary. In March, the former National Intelligence Director told Fox News, quote, "We are talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that are frankly engaged in actions that are difficult to explain," end quote. I'll tell you what, that's a pretty interesting quote from the former National Intelligence Director. And he had more saying, quote, "These objects had, quote, movements that are hard to replicate that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom," end quote. So how does that sound? How does something like that get said by a guy who had crazy access to intelligence and people are not talking about this every single day? How is that not the lead story of every single newscast all day long? You've got the quarterback of the Browns talking about this. The former director of national intelligence talking about this. I mean, at this point, UFOs are practically like gravity. It's real. I can't explain it. I just know it's real. And if that's not enough, less than 2 weeks ago, a spokeswoman for the Department of Defense told CBS via email, "I can confirm that the referenced photos and videos were taken by Navy personnel." She went on, quote, "As we have said before, to maintain operation security and to avoid disclosing information that may be useful to potential adversaries, DOD does not discuss publicly the details of either the observations or the examinations of reported incursions into our training ranges or designated airspace, including these incursions initially designated as unidentified aerial phenomena," end of quote. Can I tell you something? She said potential adversaries. Are we talking about enemies in space? Have you ever heard, never mind them acknowledging UFOs as existing, we're talking adversaries now? This is nuts. How the hell are we talking about objects with movements that are hard to replicate that we don't have the technology for? And objects traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. And people aren't freaking out. Man, that is wild to me. They're members of the intelligence community, members of the military community, members of the football community, not only talking about this, but they're talking about things that people never talk about. And they're talking about them being adversaries, and we don't have the technology to deal with it or figure out what it is. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We have adversaries in space, and no one's tripping. That's how far we've come. I don't know. Maybe this is what Kyle Shanahan was talking about. Maybe Baker Mayfield and Kyle Shanahan are part of some sort of UFO task force. Maybe Shanahan has been briefed on these objects that we cannot replicate. Maybe that's why roster construction on Sunday doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know about you.
So that goes for all of us.
I'll be honest. This is not something that's keeping me up at night yet, but it sounds like it might be keeping somebody in the intelligence community up at night. And it should be. If we're talking about adversaries and potential space enemies, man, somebody better be staying up at night. Somebody. Instead of spending all of our time worrying about and preparing for our enemies here on Earth, maybe we better be gearing up for those dudes screaming through the air at the speed of sound without making a sound and flying those crazy triangles. I don't know, man. Used to be that somebody said they saw a UFO and they were mocked for being a kook. Now somebody says they see one, it's like, yeah, and happens. Happens to us all. Happens every day. I just know this. I don't want to watch the next Baker presser and see an alien pop out of his chest. Sigourney Weaver will have to light up the entire Browns facilities. Arnold will have to put that face paint back on and hunt that SOB.
Get to the chopper!
I mean, the military is acknowledging that they have pictures and vid, and we do not have the technology to determine exactly what the hell is going on. And now they're calling them adversaries. Like, I never thought that I'd be that guy, but I am that guy. They're out there, yo. And they're adversaries. They're not coming down here to watch the Super Bowl. That's wild. 1-800-636-8686. Stucknut, let us know which crew members think that Jeff and Southfield is Mike and Indy so we can ridicule them. It's kind of a given, right? It's not that hard to figure out. No names mentioned, Hawk. The question is Hawk the only one? Hey, Jim, we too believe in UFOs and Sasquatch. Regards, dumbasses. Lee in Hartford. Yeah, I don't know, Lee. We can debate Sasquatch. I mean, is there really any debate about UFOs at this point? I mean, I'm not trying to go out there. I know what I do. I know what they pay me to do. I work in the late morning or the middle of the day. I talk sports. I'll go off the board once in a while. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be that guy that airs in the middle of the night from the desert. That's not who I am. That's not where I live. But, I mean, common sense would dictate, right? We're not the only ones. Why would you think that? I mean, how arrogant would that be? Not only would it just be arrogant, logically speaking, there's documentation. There are pictures. There are videos. The military is admitting the existence of these things and that they can't explain these things. So why does that make you a dumbass? I hate to say it, but you're probably more of a dumbass to say something like that.
Dumbass.
Hey, Rome. Can anyone confirm that Sam Cassell did not get his pilot's license? No, Sam Cassell, E.T., I get it. I love Sam Cassell. Keep his name out your mouth. Jimmy, I totally believe that Baker saw UFO. Please have him let us know if he ever finds Bigfoot. Signed, Rex Ryan.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Where's Wes Weckler? Where's Wes Weckler talking about Rex Ryan?
Wes Weckler?
Boy, Rex is something, right?
Foot, remember, foot, feet, toes.
Remember when Rex was Bill Belichick, but better and more beloved, and everybody wanted to play for him? Why is that guy not a head coach right now? Explain that to me.
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets and not some slap team. That's
maybe that's why. When we come back, I've got two interviews now, number three, so you want to jump in right now. Take advantage of it. Why don't we talk some good old-fashioned slump busting when we come back? When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you are talking to somebody who is not waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you. They're ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Interesting week. Got the PGA Tour making its next stop on CBS, where some of golf's best, including the top-ranked player in the world, Dustin Johnson, along with Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, step on the course at the Valspar Championship. Live coverage gets underway Saturday and Sunday both, 3 Eastern and 12 Pacific on CBS. You got that going for you. NFL Draft is on Thursday. Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. Eddie Olczyk is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast, which is going to push out tomorrow. We're going to talk ponies and puck with Edso. Next hour, I've got Steve Jones Jr. at the top. I've got Terrace Marshall, an NFL draft prospect at 11:40. I keep repeating that because I want you to know you're running out of time. If you want to call the program, you want to do so right now. Last chance. I think that we've already put that controversy to rest. I don't think that Jeff and Southfield meant anything at all by saying that Trapper should stay in his coffin and shut the hell up. I think that he did it to be funny. I think he did it because he thought Trapper would think that's funny and respect it. Trapper's guy, Rich Flores, said, trust me, Trapper would have thought that was funny. I think he would have too. Trapper rolled with most things. Not the things that were really important to him that he had great conviction about, but when it comes to things like Jungle Smack and Jungle Beef, he rolled with that. I don't think that would have been an issue. So if you want to take one last shot and you want to react to it, go ahead. But I think that's like fake news, non-news, not an issue. Dear Jim, I'm kind of in my feelings today because Baker did not acknowledge me, signed the Loch Ness Monster. I don't think he needed to. UFOs and Sasquatch. And again, that whole UFO thing, I don't want to spend a ton of time on that, although it'd be pretty easy to do so. It was one thing when the military never, ever, ever, ever acknowledged it. And they got to the point where there were just too many documented sightings and they had to. And I understand why they don't acknowledge it. You imagine the widespread panic. It's one thing, though, not to acknowledge it. And then it's another thing to finally acknowledge it. But I've never heard them say that, you know, we're not going to respond to all this and talk about this and share our thoughts on this because we don't need our adversaries having that information. And granted, if it's logical to assume that there's somebody out there besides us, it would also be logical to assume that maybe they're not happy to see us. But again, that is the first time I've heard the phrase adversary thrown around. In other words, they might not be just little green people on a road trip. Adversaries in spacecraft traveling the speed of sound, but not breaking the sonic boom. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm less concerned about our enemies here on ground or on Earth than I am the ones flying around that fast that we don't have the technology to document. They obviously are ahead of us. Anyway, Baker knows it. Baker said it. And if Baker said it, it's good enough for me. I gotta find Baker. I haven't talked to Baker in a while. I feel like this would be a good week to talk to Baker. Hey, Baker, what up, kid? You and I should come together and have a conversation this week. 1-800-636-8686. I'll tell you what I'm fired up about. Not only is the Derby Saturday, and I'm really happy about that, my trainer, Richie Baltus, sent me a picture. The Eagle has landed. Straight up G is in Cali. Our two-year-old colt. Remember the one I named Straight Up G? He is the son of Straight Fire. And his mom is Gidget Girl. It's a jungle homebred. He is a half-brother to Gidgetta.
Brother.
He's 2 years old. He's a strapping young man. He's in SoCal. I just saw a picture. I'm excited. He had been training in Florida. I'll tell you the weird thing about like horse racing and the game itself. This is a horse that Janet and I own 100% of. We bred this horse. I've never met the horse. The horse is two. The horse is on the ground in Cali. I have never met this horse. So hopefully with the pandemic getting better, I'll be able to soon. Let's get this guy in before the break. If you've won the smack off, you do not wait. If, in fact, it's really him and you never know. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Silk Bra. What's up, Bra?
Bra, you know how I'm doing, Bra. I'm on Kenley watch right now after last night, but let's not make that the subject of the call. BT Dub, Trapper would have loved that call by Jeff, dude. Trapper had a great sense of humor. I think he would have thought it was super funny. Now, I really called about this guy in Frisco who got his golden ticket ripped. I know you're trying to make a larger tent, and I know you got to lower the bar a little bit to get more involvement, but let's do a little hindsight on that. That was a bad move. So this guy takes his run up to the smack off by going with these super original takes on me that, one, my wife is rich, two, I'm a substitute teacher, and three, I lost to Tito. Good move, brah. So what you did is you stole everybody's takes for the last year and a half, and you scoured the JTP's Twitter feeds and then repurposed it. That's pretty great, brah. And on the originality note, he says he's a stoner from Frisco with an advanced degree. A stoner from Frisco. That's pretty new, brah. And props on you getting your paper from ITT or DeVry. That's great, bro. We do need qualified mechanics and HVAC guys. So that's pretty awesome. And then he tries to pimp his, quote, high-priced real estate. Well, that's great, bro. Well, let's analyze that Bay Area real estate. Well, the reason it's high-priced is because all those dot-com D-bags are gentrifying the place and shoving out anyone who makes under $500K. It's not because the real estate's any good. I live in an Orange County beach town. That's high-priced real estate. I love Frisco, dude. One of the oldest cities, a lot of history. I love going up there, but it's always windy, cold, and rainy. I've never seen the sun in San Francisco. And by the way, can your real estate really be high-priced if it's constantly covered in feces and needles? So listen, brah, here's your suggestion to this guy in the Bay or the Frisco, wherever he is. Check out the Jim Rome Instagram reinvention project, brah, because you need to reinvent yourself as a decent caller. Welcome back, Alvy. How you doing, brah?
Brah.
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 Come on.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
Too bad
like
you ran call. Him. I was going to rack him.
Not a very
I thought
call.
That was one of Silk's better calls. That was pretty good. Until he once again tried to turn Alvin into a ventriloquist. Good call, though, brah. Good call. That did not go well for CJ in the Bay. CJ in the Bay had a golden ticket, then he had it snatched, and now I'm pretty skeptical he's ever going to get it back. Silk Bra! Good effort. Strong effort. Well done. He also referenced my side hustle to my side hustle. If you would like more information on that, head on over to Instagram. We're not talking about that here, but I'm really proud of that, actually. Really happy with that project, working it hard. I have a side hustle to the side hustle, and you can get more details on Instagram. Silk knew. Silk's dialed in. He sent you, CJ, over to Instagram at Jim Rome. Check it out. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about slump busting. Baseball is a hard, hard game. It's a near impossible game. And this notion of slumps, like nobody has ever understood slumps. Nobody knows how you get in. Nobody knows how you get out. People have theories. People have ways to slump bust or bust slumps. We'll get into some of those theories when we come back. Stay tuned. Steve Jones, top of the hour. Tomorrow, the Jim Rome podcast, the original side hustle, will be a conversation with Eddie Olczyk. Very good friend of the program. His favorite time of year because we could talk pucks and ponies. The Derby is this weekend. NHL playoffs right around the corner. That is tomorrow. Right now, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. The next generation of paint protection is here. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating will provide up to 12 months of professional level protection, insane water beating, and jaw-dropping shine with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right, so speaking of slump busting, coming to last night's game against the Cubs, the Atlanta Braves, of all teams, had not pushed a run across the dish since Friday. That's not good.
Not good.
That's below not good.
Below not good.
And then even worse, they were on the wrong end of a mad bum no-no. A Zach Gallen one-hitter. And we're talking about a Braves squad that had a total of 7 base knocks over the course of a 3-game series against the Snakes. 7 hits in a 3-game set. We're a good team. A team that could swing it. Apparently, shortstop Dansby Swanson had seen about enough and smelled about enough. So he showed up to the yard early yesterday packing heat. And not any heat, but heat in the form of burning sage.
Burning.
My man went all essential oils and healing crystals with it. Kinda, sorta. I mean, same genre. Why hit the batting cages when you can leisurely walk around the stadium and clubhouse torching sage? Why pick up a bat when you can burn sage? I mean, burning sage has been a spiritual ritual for centuries. It's believed to cleanse a person or a space and to promote wisdom. And when you're in the kind of tank the Braves have been in this past weekend, you could use some serious cleansing and spirituality. So Dansby Swanson cleansed the entire environment. And he wouldn't be the first guy to sport some kind of superstition to try to kickstart a slump. Jason Giambi back in the day wore a magic gold thong to get right. Man, where does the time go? Giambi. Jason Giambi. When was the last time you thought about Jason Giambi? I'll do you one better. Remember Davey Concepcion? Remember Davey Concepcion? Great, great shortstop of the Reds back in the day. Yeah, my man apparently would crawl into the Reds' industrial-sized dryers, clothing dryers, to, quote, get hot again. Is that something you do in college when you're drunk? Is that a drunk frat boy move in college? Yo, man, let's go to the laundromat and get in the dryers. This was a big leaguer doing it. And not to be funny either, because every party has one, or even every team has one, but my man thought that it would work. Can we stop right there? Could you imagine actually getting into a dryer to, quote, get hot again? I don't remember Joe Morgan getting in the dryer, or Johnny Bench, or Pete Rose, or Don Gullett. I don't remember any of that. I know my man Sparky Anderson never got in a dryer. These dudes are professional athletes, and they're doing themselves as laundry. Did my man Concepcion ask somebody to pass a dryer sheet? Did somebody tumble him on delicate mode? Did he have to change the lint screen upon emerging? Did they throw one of those little things in that softens the clothing and gives it a nice fragrance? You know, the fabric softener, but the bounce. Did they drop a bounce in there for him? I don't know. Man, I got questions. What happened when he ran out of quarters? And, like every other D-bag in the laundromat, did they just leave him there when he was done and come around and pick it up when they were ready? Come on, man. There's two dryers for the entire building. Can somebody come and get Concepcion out of here? Or do you pull him out of there and just leave him on top? Or move him over to the washer? I got to admit, when I, quote, made it, my first purchase, my favorite purchase, wasn't even my first house. It was my first washer and dryer, man. It was so great to get out of that laundromat life, wasn't it? It was so great to get out of that washer and dryer, shared in the complex life. I got sick of going in there to move my laundry only to see Davey Concepcion in the dryer. Pissed me off, man. I remember Carlton Fisk would stop eating donuts in the morning to make sure he was more pissed off and focused. And that pissed me off, too. Cut myself off at donuts. Richie Ashburn would take his ice-cold bat to bed, quote, to get to know it better.
Ice.
And, of course, the obvious one that you all want to reset every day, all day, Mark Grace. What would Mark Grace do back in the day? I think we all know how Grace approached busting a slump.
I love the naked pictures of the 250-pound babes. It's so cool. I put them all over the locker room, and I'd say, hey, guys, here's some more fan mail, and they're so jealous. They're like, Gracie, no wonder you hit so good. You're slump busters every single day. A slump buster is if a team's in a slump or if you personally are in a slump, you got to find the and you just got to. And when you do that, you're just going to have instant success. And it's also can be called jumping on a grenade for the boys.
I mean, no words. That was a thing back in the day. That was an acceptable thing back in the day. That made him a legend back in the day. If you want the unedited version of that, you can find it on your own, but not here. I'm not playing it here. Point is, baseball players will try almost anything. It's a game of failure. However, too much failure will drive them crazy and cost them their gig. So they've got to find ways to snap out of it. Which is why Dansby Swanson is walking around the yard in Atlanta torching sage. And what do you know? It worked.
He shoots this one to right field. Pretty well hit. Look at that ball carry. Look at that ball go. It's a home run for Dansby. He made us look sage.
Even the announcers referenced the sage. Dansby jumps ship. The Braves explode for 8 runs on 10 hits. They snap the losing streak. These dudes got more knocks last night in that one game than they did in their entire series against the D-backs. Swanson said, quote, I might have to bring some tomorrow too. Man, damn straight. Let that ride. Let it burn, yo. Let it burn.
Burn it.
Let me tell you, Dansby. Maybe it's just me, and what do I know because I've never done it? But that's got to beat the hell out of jumping into a drying machine. Or wearing a golden thong. Or ripping through slump busters. Dude, Davey Concepcion was tall, man. My man was tall and lanky. He could not have fit that well into that thing. That's got to be an industrial-sized dryer. And even then, there's so many things wrong with that, man. How hot do you think it must have been in there? Like, I know you wanted to heat up because you were ice cold. That's got to be really hot, dude. And not to mention, you got to get banged around pretty good. You really must want to get out of a slump to do something like that. As I mentioned, I don't think Johnny Bench was doing that. I know Joe Morgan was not doing that. You know those giant dryers that you could stick two comforters in and pillows? No way, man. Paul O'Neill was not doing that back in the day. Mike D, I burned wage on busting slumps and cleansing myself. Signed, Bob Kraft. Wow, dude. That's dirty. I burned wage on busting slumps and cleansing myself. Dude, that is disgusting. Hey, D, one more like that and you're banned. You know I don't block anybody, but in your case, I'll make an exception. When we come back, let's talk some NBA. Let me change up on you. Steve Jones Jr. is an NBA analyst. He makes his jungle debut. That's coming up next. And then we try to reset Terrace Marshall Jr. in the last segment of the show. Stay tuned.